Dave's Iron, recently there's been talk about the Washington football team coming back to play in Washington. And before we get to the advisability or not of stadiums and how they benefit or not folks who live in those areas, the Washington football team, that's how the local Pacifica radio station, WPFW, mm-hmm. refers to the team. Can you say something about the team's name?
Sure. The team's name, I don't think I'm shocking anybody, is the Redskins. It's the most racist name in sports. Its roots lie in the segregationist owner of the Washington football team, a gentleman by the name of George Preston Marshall. A statue of him is still in front of RFK Stadium, or I guess a bust of him is still in front of RFK Stadium. And its roots lie in the fact that the team used to be known as the Boston Braves before they moved to Washington. And when they moved to Washington, they were the southernmost team. And so it wasn't just that George Preston Marshall was a segregationist, which he was, and a white supremacist, which he was. The Washington team was the last team to integrate. It was also a commercial appeal to southern football fans, because he thought he would have the southern market tied up, and that the best way to do that would be by appealing to racism and minstrelsy.
Before we talk about the D.C., the possibility of bringing the Washington football team back to D.C., how do stadiums tend to work out for jurisdictions that put forward, that, you know, put out massive public money to bring them in?
Well, you just said the key phrase, which is public money. And that's where you run into a disaster when it comes to stadiums. One economist put it very well. He said, if you flew a plane that had $1 billion of cash in it and just dumped it on a city and let people pick it up and spend it, you would be doing more for the economy of a city than you would by building a stadium. And the reasons are, I think, really obvious. I mean, you don't need an economics degree to figure this out. Football team plays 8 days a year. 8 days a year. So what other billion-dollar public project would ever be of use 8 out of 365 days? And if you want to throw on a couple days for a concert or a playoff game, go right ahead. Still, its value relative to use is just ridiculous, because what happens is maybe some restaurants will sprout up around it and whatnot, but it becomes a ghost town when there's not a game there. So it's actually a tremendously inefficient way to spend tax dollars.
Ward 2 D.C. Councilmember Jack Evans, who chairs the Finance and Revenue Committee, recently said it's not a matter of if they come back, it's a matter of when, speaking of the Washington football team. And at the moment, it is not clear that any public subsidies are on the line. But when it comes to Evans, you have to look at the Washington National Stadium.
Sure.
He has a record of massive public subsidies for developments like this.
Yeah, I don't know why we would trust Jack Evans at this point. And you know what? This is one team that does not need any public subsidies, because Daniel Snyder is the owner of what was known as Jack Kent Cooke Stadium, now known as FedEx Field, out in Landover. He could sell that. And the Redskins, yeah, I say their name is so easily, it's even though they've been awful for so many years, haven't won a Super Bowl in 20 years, all the rest of it, I'm sure people are well familiar with their years and years of failure and mediocrity, even beyond all of that, the Redskins are still the second most valuable brand in all of professional sports. And that includes international sports, Manchester United, everything. It goes Cowboys and then the Washington team, one after the other. And so there is no reason why Daniel Snyder could not afford his own stadium. Or how, you know what would be great would be if he invested a lot of money into a refurb job into RFK. Because, I mean, that's I'm talking to Washingtonians, I mean, that's a great tragedy. The idea that the culture that existed around RFK on Sundays and the life that it brought to that part of D.C. is really no more. I mean, it was one of those, as much as Ben's Chili Bowl, it was one of those things that made Washington, Washington, his Sundays at RFK. And it's one of the reasons why the Washington football team, even with its racist name, is by far the most popular team among African Americans in Washington, D.C., by far. And Daniel Snyder is actually more popular with African Americans, according to a Washington Post poll, than any other group or whatever in the entire D.C. metro area. And the reason for that has to do with its roots at RFK, actually, which is interesting. And you see that when you go to a game. I mean, it's a lot of the tickets are discounted. It's very multiracial when you go to a game. And it would be good to have it back in D.C., but it would not be good to have us pay for it, because we'd be paying for it in schools, we'd be paying for it in libraries, we'd be paying for it in things that maybe we take for granted right now that would be no more because of the great sucking sound that is stadium money.
In 2010, Evans proposed tearing down RFK Stadium to build a new one. But can you talk about just a minute about the other Evans-inspired stadium, the Washington Nationals, how that has worked out for district residents?
Oh, it's been a disaster. And the crazy thing about it is that this was something that was foretold. I mean, it was unprecedented at the time. I mean, the idea of building a $1 billion baseball stadium in advance of there even being an owner for that stadium, and then giving over the stadium to whoever happened to own it, and the family that bought it, the Lerners. I mean, they have just repeatedly disrespected Washington, D.C. They have most of their events in the Maryland and Virginia suburbs, like their fan events, their corporate events, etc. I mean, so they have nothing but disdain for the district itself. That's what they're developers. And so their idea is they're out for the real estate, and they take no prisoners. And it was handed to them on a silver platter. And as far as what has it meant for the city, well, I mean, are libraries open any longer right now? Are the schools in any better shape? I mean, what have we really seen in the district? Instead, no, it's just been an engine of gentrification for that whole area. The people who were displaced, they didn't get their homes back when that stadium was built. I mean, so everything about that stadium at the time that was said that would be this great benefit and engine for the city was a lie. If anything, it's been just a strategic hamlet of gentrification. I mean, and no more, no less.
I've seen various numbers given for how much public dollars were put in, but nothing less than $600 million.
Yeah, $600 million I've seen, but I've seen the numbers go as high as over $1 billion. I mean, those numbers are out there too. And and some of the money that the Lerners said that they would kick in, they actually refused to do so. I mean, they have been the most disloyal tenants ever in Washington, D.C., and it's a blight, unfortunately, which is too bad because I love baseball as much as the next person. But if there was any family that could afford a stadium, it would be the Lerners.
Looking at that, any final thoughts you have at the proposed stadium to be for the Washington football team?
Yeah, very basic one. If you're a billionaire, pay for your own damn stadium. But if you're taking public money, you should be prepared for us to make a demand for partial public ownership. There's no reason why public money should magically turn into private profit just because the magician Jack Evans waves his magic wand.
Green Bay Packers style, they're publicly owned?
Absolutely. That would be one way to do it. There are numerous models out there. I like the Packers model because it's voluntary, because it's like fans of the sport are the people who pay in for it. And I think there's something good about that, because what you're paying for actually is for the stadium to not, and for the team as well, to not be, you know, threatened with being moved to another place. I mean, if you're a fan and you're buying into it, you're also paying for some of the proceeds, like in Green Bay, 60% of proceeds from the stadium go into charities in the area, and even beer is 50% cheaper. I mean, so all of these things are very nice things for the fan, very nice things for the community, and it's why in Green Bay, Lambeau Field and that team are actually a buoy that keeps the community afloat as opposed to a rock around the neck of the people in Green Bay.
Thanks so much, Dave Zirin.
Thank you so much, Pete, and all the work you do.